The Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I was a very young pastor at the time. I'd been out of seminary probably less than a year when Paul called and told me in subdued tones, "Katie is in the hospital again. The same thing as a couple of years ago. She is in room 622 at St. John's. And you need to know, that's the psych ward." I swallowed hard. I had visited patients on the psych floor at Grant Hospital in Columbus several times during a semester of clinical pastoral education in seminary. But the people there that I talked and prayed with were strangers. They were people that I was assigned to visit as a part of a class. But this was Katie. Katie, who served faithfully on the Altar Guild. Katie, who had enjoyed so much her daughter's wedding at which I had presided the summer before. And Katie, who doted on our baby son whenever she saw him. The next morning, the sky was cloudy when I drove the 50 miles to Toledo to the hospital. And after showing ID, I was escorted through locked doors, and I started down the corridor towards room 622. From somewhere, a door slammed. And from somewhere else came a cry. The door to Katie's room was half open. I knocked, but there was no answer. I pushed the door open, and there was Katie, slumped in a chair. Outside the window, with a metal grill on it, dark clouds were threatening rain. Katie had not turned on the lamp on the desk. The room was dark. That darkness in the world outside, in that little room, seemed to fit the mood. I had entered a darkened world where once bright spirits grow dim, and people can't find their way amid a now confusing, pathless waste of a world. And in that darkened room, I fumbled for a word to say to Katie. And I still don't always do well in the darkness, where people lose their way and it's hard to see which way to turn. And it seems to me that the church as a whole doesn't do as well in the dark. Maybe that's because most of what we believe and do in the church is best suited for brighter days. Onward and upward. Faith is a way to make basically secure people even more secure. Religion often means evoking that best sense within us. But what do we do when shadows lengthen and the light fades, when we can't find our way too well and the words do not come easily? Now, I think I know why. Not too many years ago, the mentally ill were incarcerated. They were locked up, away, separated from us, from the rest of us. Because it's threatening for us to be in the presence of mental confusion and darkness, the dread that sometimes sweeps over people. We have come to call it mental illness, or psychological distress. But somehow those clinical, clean words don't do justice to such a threat of such darkness. Now, in today's gospel, Jesus is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's out in Gentile territory. He's out on the fringe. He's away from home and its security. And there, out on the edge of things, out on the fringe, Jesus meets a man who has lost that thin veneer of rationality by which we demarcate the sane from the insane. The man is in chains. He's in chains to protect himself from self-destruction or harm to others. Now, those chains signify his condition of mental misery. They named him Legion because his personality is fragmented into so many parts. And this story in St. Luke, this account, it's a story of an exorcism. The demons speak. screaming at Jesus. I cannot stop seeing from one of our mission team visits to Haiti when a woman came into a church service screaming and carrying on much like this man in the gospel story today. And they were ready for her. The deacons, the elders, they had a plan. They surrounded her. They sat her down. They prayed with her. The children came up and talked to her. They were more used to dealing with that than we are. I also remember a time when someone knocked on my door and she came in and sat on the sofa in my office, and I sat opposite her and we talked. Her eyes rolled into her head. And in that too, there was, it's almost as if I was not hearing her voice as she talked, but also a voice of some possessive demon. Yes, I know we are modern 21st century folks. We know better than to believe that people are made mentally sick by demons. Today we blame it on chemical imbalance, childhood trauma. But still, face to face with severe emotional distress, it sometimes seems more honest to describe it as possessed by a demon. And in our story today, the demons beg Jesus not to send them back to the dark abyss from which they came. Present here in the poor, tormented, and bound man, they are themselves the presence of the power of darkness. And so they beg Jesus to let them depart into a herd of swine. Remember that this story, this all happens in Gentile territory, because there are no herds of pigs in Israel. Perhaps these demons beg to be sent into the swine because they feel that once in the unclean animals, they will be safe from Jesus. And yet you know the story. Once in the swine, they rush headlong into the abyss of the sea, thinking that there they will be secure from the power of Jesus. The story right before this one in the Gospel of Luke shows that Jesus is master even of the waves and of the sea. The demons can run, but they can't hide from the power, the life-giving, light-rendering power of Jesus. A man has been miraculously delivered of his demons, cured of an incurable illness. Praise God. Not so fast. The Galilean pork producers, the ones that rush into town after all this happens in the story, I imagine they might have protested because they have suffered grave economic loss in all this. Yes, darkness comes in many forms. There is often an economic dimension of our social sicknesses. Healing is okay, as long as it doesn't affect business. A pastor from Australia was being interviewed about the work he does among those who suffer from gambling addictions. "Can't something be done to restrict the gambling industry?" asks another pastor. And the first responds, "I doubt it. Now the government is so dependent upon the revenues from gambling, I don't see how they will ever be able to give up gambling. The government is as addicted to gambling as those who are addicted to gambling." Darkness, servitude, and enslavement come in many forms. One consists of the demons that torment the soul of this poor man. But yet there is other darkness that consists of enslavement to our economic masters. But this reaction of the forces of darkness ought not distract us from the light, from the joy of this story. A once tormented man is now free. Now he praises Jesus. He wants to be his disciple. "Go home and tell your people what God has done for you," Jesus tells the man. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't demand that the man leave everything and follow him as a traveling disciple. He tells him to do what he can do. "Go home and testify to your own people what God has done for you." And so the man becomes an evangelist, spreading the good news that there is a power loose in the world even greater than the powers of death and confusion. It is a story meant to be told and received gladly among those who suffer from demons of confusion and despair. It's a story meant to be celebrated by those who love those who suffer from such death-dealing demons. There is no region, no person immune from Jesus' power. Katie, who I mentioned earlier, for the rest of her life, she lived many, 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 many more years. She continued to serve on the Altar Guild. She enjoyed her grandchildren. Through all that, there were dark times and light times. But she always lived with a strong faith. And she clung always to the certainty that Jesus does not forsake, but seeks out those imprisoned, those out on the fringe. Yes, Jesus works on the edges of our secure world, reaching out to those who have been pushed to the periphery. He is light to our darkness. He heals. We need to tell this story, not only telling it gladly to those in the grip of confusion and despair, but also telling it to ourselves, those who at this moment may be in the light. It is a bit frightening to be out on the fringe. We are more comfortable here at home, hunkered down safely among those who are not sick, not confused, not in bondage. But we need not fear life on the fringe, out on the margin, because that's where Jesus is today. His power is effective there, especially there. So go tell how much God has done for you, and tell others how much this Lord of life and light can do for them. Amen.